So let us look at what is a service discovery. So service discovery is a mechanism by which service consumers become aware of available services and their capabilities. So when let us take an example of internet banking and mobile banking, where we are going to have service that are going to be used by different applications, and all these particular things are going to be considered covered by the core banking system, because from core banking system you will understand what is the balance for the specific transaction, specific customer. So this will be coming from the service discovery. Mobile banking person will ensure that you are having a survey. A mobile banking person will knock your application, find out whether the service is there or not. It will find a discovery of the service and ensures that you are in the position, system in the position to take this particular balance and give that output to the mobile banking or internet banking. Service discovery is a mechanism by which service consumers become aware of available services and their capabilities. Service discovery starts with a one-time operation in which the service provider publishes its services in some of service registry. So before starting the entire thing, you will have entire implementation, you will discuss, you will identify which are the services that are required for your architecture to happen, for your application to run. So you will form a registry, service registry, and list down all these particular items. These are the things that will be there for my application. It could range from a simple web page or a robust implementation with advanced query capabilities. It will be like in a core banking application, when we talk about these services, could be like a document which are going to be sent, or a balance inquiry, or a debit transaction, or credit transaction, or limit inquiry. There are multiple various services that will be available, and these services has to be maintained in the form registry. This is getting queried at design time by the developers of service consumers for services with desired capabilities. Say today the core banking system is there, and you are having all these services. Your bank has decided that you are going to migrate from one by one mobile banking system to the other by mobile banking system. So the person who is doing the development from the mobile banking will be querying you on which is the service I have to use for the specific purpose. So this is where the registry will be helping for the architect or the design software designer to help the other outside people, the external world people, to use the proper services. And again, when you are going to do this particular services architecture, you have to take care of what is the volume that is going to be used by the specific industry or specific enterprise. Say example, you are going to do for a specific bank. How many number of people are going to be there? You are, take an example, balance inquiry. How many number of people are going to use, and what is going to be the peak time? What is going to be the peak? I mean, what is going to be the time in which people are not going to use to that much extent? Example, let us take an example of transactions during cricket season. So when you are going to have a cricket season like IPL that is happening IPL that is happening, there could be betting that will be happening, or there could be in Dreamland will be there, there could be some other people are there. So you have to ensure that these transactions are happening and hitting your core banking system without any impact on a normal transaction. So here what will happen is that peak will be very high for less than 10 minutes. So observed in one of the bank, 7:30 is going to be your start time of a transaction of an IPL. 7:20, the hits for the transactions that will be happening from Dreamland will be on the higher side. Why? Because people will be having some information at that particular time, and they will start doing transactions in the specific during this particular time. So this kind of high volume that is happening for a peak time, say for 10-15 minutes, should be taken care by the system. There are multiple ways in which today it is happening. Banks are in a position to handle this kind of high volume peak hours. Otherwise, transaction will start failing and it will create an issue throughout the entire India. Otherwise, if you see normal time, if you see at 2 o'clock in the night, where there will not be much transaction that will be happening, so still you should not have a system that is lying and sleeping in this particular time. So the architecture which you are going to handle, the infrastructure which you are discussing, should be in a position to automatically adjust according to the transactions that are happening at the specific point of time. Even though there is much discussion about runtime discovery of services, the reality is that current technology do not support runtime discovery. But of course, there are exceptions to this particular statement, where there are scenarios where services are getting discovered automatically during runtime, and mostly it's not getting covered still. The word dynamic is often used to describe the binding between service consumers and services, like it should be dynamic and all this we discussed earlier. Fully dynamic build binding, on the other hand, requires semantically described services that use an ontology that is shared between service consumers and service providers. Like it is like a dictionary you have to mention, has to be clearly defined and clearly architectured. The information has to be passed to the service consumers and service providers, that what kind of transactions that has to be happen, what kind of usage, which kind of service used for which purpose. This is a major thing that will be happening in any of the system architecture discussion that will be happening. Semantic web services represent an active area of research as well as an unsolved problem that is not yet ready for logical deployment. Still, this is in a very early stages where it is semantic web services are not getting used properly till now. So, coming to the next point, which you are going to see, service endpoint. What is a service endpoint? This is the place where, or this is a URL which is going to be used at the last stage, or when the service is getting called, example in case of balance inquiry. This is the last URL that is going to be used by the service provider for getting the result of the entire thing. So service endpoint is the URL where your service can be accessed by a client application. So you are going to have a legacy application in your backend. This is the endpoint where the person will reach, where the service provider will reach to ensure that his service is getting used. Service endpoint is a URL where your service can be accessed by the client application. The same web service can have multiple endpoints, for example, in order to make it available using different protocols. So let us take an example in case of one specific protocol, HTTP and HTTPS itself, when we talk about, or FTP. This could be, endpoint can be different for each other person. FTP, you cannot use the same endpoint of HTTP. HTTPS could be different, HTTP could be different. Based on the protocol that is getting used, there could be multiple endpoints. The endpoint is a connection point where HTML files or active service pages are exposed. So finally, what will happen is that either HTML will be used, or active service pages will be used, or some other service that will be running in the backend, API that is running in the backend and provides a silent response back as the backend service itself. This could be an endpoint that will be happening. Endpoints provide information needed to address a web service endpoint. So the endpoint provides a reference or specification that is used to define a group or family of messages addressing properties and give end-to-end message characteristics. So like we are mentioning, the endpoint is a final point which is going to be connecting to the system that is in the backend, and this provides all the data that is required for the system to get connected. For example, it could be a balance inquiry we are discussing, or a customer inquiry that is going to happen. So it provides the details like customer number, customer ID, customer name, customer address, and other details that are required for the next application, which could be a mobile banking or internet banking, to provide the data in their user information, user interface screen. Typical BPM components enable service consumer developer to graphically compose services available in the registry and then generate the appropriate code for the orchestration. So finally, what is happening is the orchestration that is happening in the backend between multiple systems. So these components ensures that the service consumer developer can provide the output to the respective system, and this will be maintained in the registry so that the specific consumer developer, consumer in this case we are mentioning is mobile banking consumer or internet banking consumer, and the developer for the specific services. So let us move on to the service invocation, where service invocation is a mechanism by which services are invoked by service consumers at runtime. This is a very interesting concept which we'll be discussing at a later stages also during this particular conversation. So how in system is going to be in service is going to be invocated is the various things that is happening, and there is a good maturity that has happened in this specific thing from the way it was happening earlier to what is happening currently. And there is a different reason why a specific service has to be invoked in a specific way. There are two basic invocation patterns. One is point to point, and the second one is mediated. So point to point is most accessible in environments that are small in number of services and consumers homogeneous in implementation technology and have low pace of change. So what will happen is that when you are going to have a point to point, when you are talking about point to point, one specific point, it will connect to another specific point only. There cannot be a multiple connection that will be happening. Say example, when we are talking about a DMART, there could be only one, there is no need that it has to have multiple connections for a DMART store to connect. So there could be a point to point from one branch to the central DMART connection. There could be only one point is possible, is enough. But when you are going to talk about multiple people who are going to connect, like entire globe is going to connect, then the way it has to be done should be different. So here it is, in this case, what will happen is that change will not be so frequently, you cannot do it. You have to have a small space of change that is going to happen. So again, based on the industry, based on the way you are going to do the transactions, based on the connection that is going to happen, this will change. In the mediated pattern, service consumers invoke services via middleware components such as an enterprise service bus. So again, when we are going to point, I could give one more example here in this case. Let us take an example of a specific company connecting to a specific bank for doing a transactions. Okay. So this will be point to point where there is no need for the specific bank to expose this particular service to multiple people in the entire world. So there will be a point to point, that will be connection, which ensures that changes are not going to happen very frequently for this particular manner. And there could be security things will be taken care of when you are going to have a point to point. In the mediated pattern, service consumers invoke services via middleware components such as an enterprise service bus. Let us move to the next part where we are going to have an enterprise service bus. In enterprise service bus, this will be a middleware component that will be having multiple services in place to ensure that the people who are going to use, the consumers who are going to use the services are getting their connections properly. Okay, so if you are going to have point to point, the connections will be limited. But in enterprise service bus, the connections are endless and it can be expanded based on the time of transaction. Example, like we are mentioning earlier, when you are going to talk about UPI transfer that are happening during IPL season between 7:20 and 7:30 in the evening, it will be enormous number of transfers that will be coming in a specific bank. How this is getting handled by an enterprise service bus that will be there in the entire system. The mediated pattern is most acceptable in environments that are large in number of services and consumers, technologically diverse and rapidly changing. So this is where the best example is like our Dreamland, which are discussing about, or an UPI transaction that are happening today. And it is a change that will be happening very rapidly. This is where the enterprise service bus comes into picture and it shows that the large number of services are getting handled, large number of transactions are getting handled, and it is technologically diverse. Okay, we are talking about UPI itself, Paytm is happening, Google Pay is happening, and Bharat Pay is happening, and Phone Pay is happening. All these particular things may be at the end, may be having different technologies at their place. But when the service is there, it has a only single technology and ensures that this is the technologically diverse is going to handle in the proper manner. Let us come to the next point of discussion, web services. It is any piece of software that uses standard web interfaces to communicate with other software containing web service interface. The distinguishing feature is use of common interfaces. It is a standardization of interfaces that enables web services to talk to each other and provide a framework for all people anywhere to communicate with each other through web services. So web services handles all these transactions that will be happening, and basically these services will be in a position to support any web service interfaces that will be happening in the website. While web service is just a technology pattern for implementing service-oriented systems, it is often confused with or equated to SOA as it is the most common technology pattern. So basically today in the change that is happening, web services will be as equal to SOA, it is being discussed. Okay, but there is a different way in that SOA and web services is happening. So there are two different ways in this happening. Web service, web socket technology, which is shortly called as WS, and in the reverse scenarios today, we are going to have REST that is going to emerging. But still, there are reasons why you have to use web socket stack, because there is a way in which the transfer are happening in REST and web socket. So you cannot avoid web socket continuously in the entire full day. So again, let us come back to WebSocket. The difference between WebSocket and REST is that when you are talking about WebSocket, there is a reason why you should have a specific socket that is a specific thing. So it will be like a specific port that has been enabled for a specific reason, and it will be always in a listening mode. Okay, so it will be always like, take an example of ATM transactions or UPI transactions that will be happening. If there could not be a listening mode that will be happening continuously here, each and every time the service has to be enabled, the service has to be started. In a REST case, what will happen is that the transaction will be happening at the specific point of time. As soon as you are going to get a hit, the service will be enabled. Example, chat. When you are going to have a chat system, there is no need that the backend has to be always up, because the people can accept for some 2 or 3 seconds delay. But when you are going to have an ATM transaction or UPI transaction, that delay is not acceptable here, because that could be multiple people who are going to do a transaction at the same time. Service interfaces are described using web services description language, WSDL. WSDL is an XML-based language used to describe the functionality offered by a web service. So I think by this time you will be aware what XL is in XML and how XL is going to help in WSDL. It defines the operations, input-output parameters, and communication protocols of the service. The JSON is one more thing that is happening in recent world, where XML, JSON and XML are similar manner in which it will be doing. This is getting used for sending the input-output parameters and defining about how the operation is going to happen. And it is a protocol that is happening in the backend for the communication between two different services. So data is transmitted using SOAP, which is a short form of for Simple Object Access Protocol, and this could be over HTTP or HTTPS. It's a messaging protocol that allows programs running on different operating systems to communicate with each other. So today there could be different operating systems, different applications that are happening in the backend, but the connection, the protocol that is being used, the communication that is happening between two different systems is using Simple Object Access Protocol. It uses XML to structure the data being exchanged. HTTP is the underlying protocol used for transporting SOAP messages over the web. Service consumers discover services and information on how to bind to them through technologies such as UDDI-based registries, database-based registries, service registries, web pages, or wikis. So today, people are using multiple ways in which they are going to connect to the solution. And these are registries they are using today. And this could be a database connection, DB link, or it can be a web page, or it could be a direct connection that is happening, which is nothing but UDDI-based registries. It is a standard for creating and accessing web service registries. It provides a mechanism for service providers to publish their services, and service consumers can search and discover available services. So consumers like web, let us take an example of mobile banking or internet banking. These are the service consumers. They can discover and identify which service they have to use. Other methods of service discovery can include database-based service registries, where service information is stored in a database, as well as web pages or wikis that provide documentation or listing of available services. So how they are doing today is that universally they'll publish the registries service that are available in their system, so that anybody can use this particular service and do a transaction or do an inquiry of their services that are available. So recently you might have seen even banks are exposing their services to the world so that they can do a transactions without seamlessly. Of course, the basic security is taken care, and normal discussions will happen before they start using that their specific service. Following other web services standards, this is purely to get you familiar with the names and its purposes. Transport, HTTP, this is stable, and people are using continuously for a very long time on this HTTP. Encoding, XML or JSON file, this also again stable. Today multiple people are using this particular thing for the encoding and sending them information, communicating between two different systems. Message format, SOAP, again this is stable. Description, WSDL, again this is stable. Discovery, UDDA, still this has to be stabilized, okay, still work is in progress on this particular thing. Orchestration, choreography, WSCL, WSCA, WBPEL, WS coordination, BPML, DPSS, these are very early stages, and yet this has to be yet to stabilize, and this is going to take more time for this particular system to be stabilized and continue proceed further. So let us move on to the next discussion point, Enterprise Service Bus. It is a middleware product that connects and mediates all communications and interactions between service consumers and services, usually based on standards. So ESB will be the middle layer, and that will be between the consumers and the backend application that is there. So what will happen here is that these services will be exposed in the Enterprise Service Bus, and the communication layer between Enterprise Service Bus and the service consumer will be maybe different from what you are going to have between the backend application and the Enterprise Service Bus. So the ESB can do a data massaging in between and change the format. Say example, the legacy system supports only JSON format, and the new service application, new service consumer is sending it in XML format. The ESB will be in a position to convert this particular thing and send the response as per requirement of the legacy application. This helps any organization not to have a bigger impact on the changes that are going to happen. So technical definition of ESB is an ESB is a middleware solution that enables interoperability among heterogeneous environments using a service-oriented model, and it represents the consolidation of the AAI and application server product categories. Each application is designed to interact with the ESB, allowing it to manage the routing and transformation of messages between applications. So this ensures that the change that is happening, managing the entire routing that is going to happen, ESB ensures that this particular thing happens and each of the service consumer is getting what they require to get. So normally, when we talk about ESB and point-to-point, when we discussed this word earlier, we were discussing about how exactly the point-to-point is happening and how exactly the ESB is happening. When you are talking about ESB, application A and application B, the services could be common for all these particular people. Each application A will be having a different set of services. Application B can be a different set of applications. And routing data and format transformation technology adopters may happen here using the ESB. Example, let us take an example. Again, I'm coming back to the bank thing only. What is happening is that there could be a service, there could be an application for anti-money laundering. There could be an application for trade-based monitoring system. There could be application that is happening in the core banking application. There could be an application that will be there for mobile banking or internet banking or document management system. Let us take our trade systems. Let us take an example where you are going to mobile banking person requests transactions that should be happening in the core banking system, balance inquiry. Now, the need for the bank is to ensure that the person who is going to send the transaction, the person is a proper person without any issues, like he is not a politically exposed person, or the person is not having a default with a bank or some other bank. So how this will be held, or the country where you are who is going to do a transaction is not a country which is in blacklisted country. How these particular things will happening is that mobile banking or internet banking will be sending the request to ESB. ESB will be sending the request to an AML. Let us take this an application B that is there. So application B, it will be sending the request from application C, which will be in internet banking. From here, the message is routed to ESB. ESB will be sending the request to application B, which is in our case TBML. TBML confirms that there is no blacklist of this country or the person. This request will be sent to core banking system, let us say application A. Then application A does a transaction, sends the request back to enterprise service bus, and it sends back the transaction to application C. By this way, what is happening today is that the impact that is happening, the application, whichever is getting changed, there is no need that I have to touch application B or application A for doing the entire transactions. ESB will be in a position to handle all these particular things in the being in the middle layer. So each and every service will be called one by one, step by step, from the ESB itself, and the transaction will be completed. For the end user or the end consumer, he will find it is seamless. He'll no need that he has to understand what is happening in the back end. His transaction will be happening in matter of seconds, and entire transaction will be completed. Various in point to point, what will happen is that application C, the same similar what we are going to discuss, application C has to connect to first, they have to connect to application B for getting the XML, validating the entire customer. Again, the response is coming back to application C. Application C again calls application A and gets the transaction getting processed. So in this manner, what is happening is that there will be delay in the response, because this application C has to, until the transaction is completed, application B is completed, he cannot proceed further. Application A, changes has to be done in application C, application B, and application A. So three applications will be impacted for each and every change that is going to happen. Various in this case, only the ESB will be impacted. The core logic that is happening in the backend will be intact. Though an ESB is strictly not required to implement a service-oriented system, it is useful in large heterogeneous service-oriented environments because it reduces the complexity of connecting services with their consumers by implementing the vector pattern, validate, enrich, transform, route, and operate. This is where the entire ESB is coming to picture. Again, no need that each and small organizations has to connect, has to have an ESB based on the industry, based on the changes that are happening in the industry. The organization has to consider, actor has to define and ensure that they are following, they are taking a decision properly whether they have to follow ESB or not. ESB loosely connects different systems and enables reuse of existing assets amongst each other. Like whatever we have mentioned now in the previous example, it could be a mobile banking, it could be an internet banking, who is going to connect and get the transactions that are happening. ESB loosely connects, so any person can connect here. Of course, they have to follow the security protocols. Once they are following the security protocols, they can connect and get the data that is required for them. The specific capabilities, features, and standards supported by ESBs as well as their product architectures can vary significantly among product implementations. Most ESBs exhibit the following features. Service-oriented middleware, ESBs model application endpoints as services, like we are mentioning earlier. Each and every application is going to have a service which will be connected in ESB. ESB can do a massaging of the data and send the request and response accordingly and send back the responses properly to the individual application. Standards public compliance. ESBs are more standards compliant than previous generations of EAI, Enterprise Architecture Interfaces technology. And in particular, they all support multi-vendor interoperability using the WSF, which is happening in organizations which are getting used in ESB. Virtualization of service agents. ESBs provide service containers that virtualize the service and insulate the application code from its protocols, like we are mentioning earlier. Each an application A, application B, application C, application D will be different and intact, and it is not going to be changing for each and every request that is going to come. ESB will be in a position to handle, it will be in a position to exchange multiple message patterns like JSON file, XML format, JSON format. It will be in a position to handle all these particular things. Invocation methods, quality of services requirement, quality of QoS, and other infrastructure concerns. ESB will be in a position to handle all these particular items. What constitutes an ESB? Vendors and implementers have tried to identify some common capabilities that are outlined below. So these are the following are the common capabilities that are being handled in ESBs. ESBs provide fundamental support for web services. So web service support is available in ESB. ESB can transform data, including conversion of data format from legacy application to specific fixed field record file formats to a predefined XML schema. Which includes validation of the transactions, validation of the specific thing, and calling of different services based on the requirement. For example, before doing a transaction, you want to check out what is the transaction, what is the balance, is it available or not, and doing a credit, you have to validate whether the account is available or not. All these particular things can be happening in the ESB, and application with different applications can just simply send a request and wait for the response. For example, a part number in an ERP to a different number format in web-based order entry system and message multiplicity. Like example, the date formats can be different. And when you are going to have multi-country implementations for India, it will be DD/MM/YYYY. But various Indian European country, it can be MM/DD/YYYY. How your system is in a position to handle and seamlessly how it is going to respond is based on how you are going to do a ESB implementation. So when you are going to get a response a request from the specific country, you can have the ESB changed based on the format, convert based on your legacy system requirement, and send. When you are going to send back the response, again convert back as per what is the country from where you are going to get the response. The connection between all these particular items will be happening based on the session which will be there as part of your ESB itself. The ESB provides support for use of proprietary or custom adapters to connect to legacy and commercial off-the-shelf applications. Like the examples which you have mentioned, the legacy could be a core buying system and your new age solution or the commercial off-the-shelf applications could be multiple things like UPI or Dreamloan for that matter or internet banking or mobile banking. Primary architecture quality attributes that are addressed by the ESB include interoperability, modifiability and extensibility. You will be in a position to extend based on the requirement and multi-volume. Your system will be in a position to do volume analytics and it will be in a position to proceed further. Benefits of service-oriented architectures are like whatever you have mentioned, what are the features of a service-oriented architecture. Now let us look at all the benefits of a service-oriented architecture. Again, if you have to take a call whether you require a service-oriented architecture or not, has to be done based on the industry, based on the enterprise level, medium, low, or high or large, has to be decided based on the program manager or the person who is going to ensure that, I mean, project manager has to, and with the discussion with stakeholders, it has to be decided. Supports non-intrusive reuse of software components in ways not specifically predicted at development time. So at the time of development, you may not have decided that this particular thing has to be required, but at a later stage, this particular thing requirement is coming. So what you have to do is that you have to just have a say services, and there could be possibility that one service is calling another service or one service is part of some other service also. Loose coupling among interacting software agents, a mechanism for integrating software components on dissimilar platforms, like we are mentioning XML, JSON is one example of dissimilar platforms, can enable easier in-source, outsource development by breaking systems down into smaller chunks. So there could be a possibility that the development is very huge, and what will happen is that it will be split into smaller chunks so that each and every team can develop at the same time. So this ensures that the development time is not going to be that much extent, and implementation time is going to be reduced to that much extent. So why does an enterprise need an SOA? Or architecture of any other kind? The directing function of an enterprise, the board of directors of a commercial company or the top level management of a division or government department, for example, sets objectives for the enterprise and decides how it should operate in order to achieve them. So this is what the government department or the regulatory department ensures. The regulatory ensures that you are following the proper direction in case of a bank, the central government or central authorities comes and asks what kind of architecture you are using, and you are going to ensure that you are using a proper architecture, or else they will not be in a position to provide an approval for you to open the entire bank itself. A clearly articulated architecture describes the desired enterprise or organization and manner of operation. By doing so, it provides a definition of the change that should be implemented to achieve this in organization. Based on the organization, based on the industry, the government authorities take a decision which architecture is okay for you to proceed further. It could be like companies like DMart can have an SOA, whereas a company like a small company which is going to be your next door shop may not have an SOA in place. They could be having a simple software in their place, because there is no need that they have to connect to the external people. A basis for control and governance of its ongoing operations. And enterprise architecture also provides a third benefits, which were enterprise change over time. They combine and split, in commercial mergers or spin-offs or government department or reorganizations. Like we were discussing earlier, one government department can be kind of migrated to some other, or can be merged to some other department. And the SOA or the enterprise architecture helps this particular thing happens properly. The enterprise architect must understand these areas at least well enough to supervise architects that specialize in them. The IT architect must be able to work in teams with such specialists. So, IT architect person should ensure that specialists are consulted before proceeding further with a discussion or decision, so that he is taking care of the changes that are going to happen in the future. Increasingly, companies are adopting the principles and techniques associated with the SOE for different types of projects in different industries worldwide. So, this is what is happening in the recent past. Companies are adopting the principles and techniques associated with the SOE, and based on the project, they take into consideration and they take a decision on which SOE they are going to follow.